ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांगनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददति स्वापदन्तं हरदनस्तु नन्दन्तैर्विदं यच्चे पुनः पुनः श्रीमरूपपदाम्बुजो दुलिस्याम जन्म जन्मनी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव श्री गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। तपकतामृतं तप्तजीवनं कविभिरीरितं कल्मषापहं श्रवणमङ्गलं श्रीमदाततं भुवि गृह्णन्ति जे बुरीदाजना। दिस् इस् फ्रोम् गोपीगीत। गोपीस् आर् सेयिङ्ग् Tava kathamritam, your kathamritam, this nectar of hearing topics of you. Tava kathamritam, tapta jivanam, we're all suffering from this tritap, these threefold miseries of material existence. So these are relieving the miseries of the living entities. Tava kathamritam, tapta jivanam. Kavi viriditam, and all the kavis, the great poets, are singing the glories of Krishna's katabrit. Kavi viriditam, kalmashapaham, same thing, this kalmash, this, all this dirtiness is washed away. Shravana mangalam, it is auspicious to hear. Shravana mangalam, srimadatatam, I forget the translation of that one. It's very beautiful. Bhuvi grananti je buridajana. That person who distributes this kathamrit, he's the most magnanimous person. This is a verse you may remember that Prataparud Maharaj, when he finally got audience with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came dressed in very humble, simple Vaishnava cloth as massaging Mahaprabhu's legs as he was resting during the Rath Yatra festival in a garden. And he began to sing this verse. And Mahaprabhu immediately became aroused and said, yes, you are the most magnanimous person. You're filling my ears. Shravana Mangalam, this very auspicious sound to hear is filling my ears. You're the most munificent person. So we're very fortunate to sit here in this holy dham of Sri Mayapur, in this very, very peaceful and beautiful place of Gurukul, surrounded by trees and birds. This morning I was hearing the Kokila sing. I didn't hear him for 2 days, but today I heard him singing. That means hot weather is on the way. As soon as they start to sing, hot weather is on the way. So we're sitting in this very beautiful natural place and hearing wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna. So we're still stuck in Mathura. Actually, Mathura is not part of Braj, although it's in the very center. It is a big city, and Braj is filled with simple forests. And Krishna himself, he never enters Mathura. Even when he appears, we heard yesterday, he appeared in his forearm Vishnu form. But that Brijenda Nanda and Shyam Sundar, the son of Nanda Maharaj, he never leaves. Prabhupada was always quoting one very famous verse. What is that? Vrindavanam parityajam padamekam nagacchami. Krishna says, Vrindavanam parityajam. You know this word tyag. Huh? You've heard the word tyag. Just like in Kumbh Mela, so many tyagi babas were there. So this tyag comes from this word, tyaj. Vrindavanam parityajam. Here's, we're putting, in Sanskrit they like to put little prefixes and suffixes to increase the nectar. So not just leaving, but making very clear, parityajam, that even there's no question of leaving Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityajam. Padam ekam. You know pada. It's like we were singing the other day, Nitai Pada Kamala. Nityananda's appearance day was there. Pada means foot. Padam ekam. One foot. Nagachami. Krishna's saying, I don't go even 1 foot outside of this Vrindavan. No question of going 1 foot outside. That person who goes to Mathura, that is the Vasudev Krishna. The Brijanananda and Shamsundar, he stays within the hearts of the gopis. He never leaves. Just like right near the edge of Mathura, between Mathura and town of Vrindavan, there's one Akurgat. We're going to go backward. This comes at the end of Braj Mandal Prakrama, but since it's right next to Mathura, we'll go there to understand. So that Akurgat, that one Akur, he was actually coming all the way from Nandagam, and he went on a big, long, very windy route. He didn't go straight route. But he took Krishna on a very windy route so Krishna could see Govardhan Hill and Radhakund and Bahulavan and all the different forests of Braj. You know, this was following Akrura's chariot is a very beautiful meditation. Krishna was seeing all of his favorite pastime places. Finally they came to this Akrura Ghat that used to be right on the bank of Jamuna. So then Krishna and Balaram, they went down, they took their bath. And they came back, and then Akrura, he went down to take his bath. When he got down, he saw Krishna and Balaram in the water. He said, I just left them on the chariot. He came back, he saw them sitting in the chariot. He came back down to the water, he saw that Ananta Shesha and Vishnu were lying there. So this is when they switched. That Mahasankarshan and Vasudev Krishna, they went to Mathura, and that original Vrindananda and Shamsundar and Sri Balaram, they remained in Braj. You know, he saw this apparition in the water, he offered his prayers, and then the apparition disappeared, he took his bath. He came back, he was smiling very brightly, so Krishna and Balaram asked him, you saw something wonderful? He said, when I have seen you, what wonderful thing haven't I seen? There's nothing more wonderful than to see Krishna and Balaram. Just like recently we established beautiful deities of Krishna and Balaram in Mauritius. And Balaram's appearance day this year. And my friend Nisringa Kavacha, who's we're roommates right now, he was also there. And some of the, none of the boys are here, but some of the Gurukul boys, they also came. It was a very ecstatic festival. So now, Krishna and Balaram also smiling there in Mauritius, in a very beautiful temple. The Krishna and Balaram are so beautiful. So they never leave. So that is that place, Akrur Tirth, that's right in between. So from there, that Vasudev and Mahasankarshan, they went to Mathura. So anyway, we got up to the Jamastan. Just near the Jamastan, there's another one of the Digpal deities on the western edge of Braj called Bhuteshwar Mahadev. you know, boot. Ghost, boot and preet. This means ghost. So he's lord of all the ghosts. Because sometimes, if somebody's been put in ghostly body, just like if somebody dies in great fright, or somebody commits suicide, or somebody dies from overdose of drugs. It's like we have got so many friends who also die like this. So, they all take birth, or take their next body, I can't say birth, they take next body as ghost. Ghost means that he has no gross physical body, but he has got his subtle body. As we know from Bhagavad Gita, there's two types of bodies. But still within that subtle body, all desires are still there, but no way to fulfill those desires. Just imagine what misery, huh? It's like being in a Baskin-Robbins ice cream store and you only have 2 pennies in your pocket and you're 5 years old. You can imagine that. So, this is most miserable condition. But somehow Lord Shiva, he's Asutosh, very easily pleased. So somehow these persons, by associating with Lord Shiva, when he's kind upon them, he gives them another chance to take birth. They take birth in the womb of unmarried woman. Sometimes illicit sex is there, and some woman without husband, she gets child. So that child, he's coming from ghostly body. So this is Bhuteshwar Mahadev. He's very, very, he's the most famous. He's actually one of the Digpal deities of the whole of Braj. Not only Mathura, but on the one of the corners of Braj, of the whole of Braj, he's one of the Digpal deities. And just a little ways behind the Janmastan, there's Mahavidyadevi Mandir. There's Mahavidyadevi, she's the goddess of Mathura. So she has got her temple there just behind the Janmastan. She's also watching over the Mathura Mandal. Just like Vrindadevi is watching over Braj Mandal, so Mahavidyadevi, she watches over the Mathura city. And then if we come back down to the banks of the Jamuna, way down from Bisramghat, because now we're going around in a big circle, we find another on the, must be, northern petal of Mathura, there's Gokarneshwar. Because this is a very interesting place. Because Gokarn, you can understand Gokarn, huh? You can figure it out. You can figure it out. You know Go? Go. And Karn?
Here.
Here. So there was one fellow, he had ears like cow. It's a long story. Somehow or other, there was one Brahmin and his wife was unable to have any child. But somehow, I can't remember which sage, somehow they pleased some sage. And he performed a jagya and he took apple. And he said, if you eat this apple, then you will get child. Then she thought about it for a second. She said, well, because she had lived a long time without having undergoing this process of giving birth, because it is a very traumatic situation. And now she, many years had passed. She was not a young girl anymore. She thought, well, it's so peaceful without having to go through all this trouble. So she made a deal with her sister, who was pregnant, that you just give me your child. And she fed that apple to the cow, or that fruit, whatever the fruit was, she fed it to the cow. So cow gave birth to child who was human being, but with ears like a cow, Gokarn. And I can't remember, but somehow or other, her sister, I can't remember exactly how it happened, but she gave birth to a terrible demon. And this demon just made her whole life miserable. Eventually, it's a long, long story. But this is where the idea of Bhagavat Sapta comes from, 7 days Bhagavatam, because eventually He took body, since we're talking about ghosts, he took body of ghost. What was his name? Dundubi. Huh? His name was Dundubi. So he came to Gokarn and he said, I'm trapped in this body of ghost. I'm your brother. You please help me. So he went inquiring all throughout the universe. Finally, he was told, you just recite Srimad Bhagavatam. So he sat down. Probably at this place where Gokarneshwar is. And he asked his brother Dundubi, you come into a bamboo pole. That bamboo pole was there, had seven knots. You see, this is knot. This we call knot. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 knots were there in that bamboo pole. So every day, Gokarn was speaking. And at the end of that day, one knot would explode. Pow! With big noise. Bang! Just like last day we were in Kumbh Mela, suddenly we heard this bang, 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 and crackle and sound, and suddenly Chokidar was yelling, fire, fire. I thought, oh my God, this is the last day. You know, they're going to come and pack up all the tents, and now the camp is burning down. And we all ran, but it was actually, because our camp was very, very long, so we saw the smoke coming, but it was actually from another camp, and some bamboo structure had caught fire because there's grass everywhere because everybody puts grass on the on top of the sand. So the bamboo was burning and it was just going bang, 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 making big sound. Anyway, somehow it was very far away. Just nothing left was skeletons of all the structures that had been there. So just some bamboo was there and some grass was burning. And so anyway, every day, bang, one knot would break. So then at the end of 7 days, seventh knot broke. Pow! When seventh knot broke, then suddenly this Vaikuntha airplane came down. Like that, the Vishnu Dutas got out, this beautiful form appeared from the bamboo pole. Dundubi, he was liberated from all his sins, he got beautiful forearm form. They set him down in the Vaikuntha airplane and they took him back to Vaikuntha. And all the people, many people had come, because they heard, oh, this Gokarn, he's a very learned scholar, he's speaking Bhagavatam, so we should go there. So they all came there, and they were all very amazed. They saw this happen, and they said, wait a minute, we've been sitting here for 7 days. You know? What is this? We didn't expect a sadhu to be like this. Just like we see in, especially in India, if somebody gets some sort of post, then immediately, somehow or other, all of his relatives, they also get some sort of position in the government too, and they're driving around in the government cars and taking, you know, getting all the government contracts are given to all their relatives and this and that. So we expect ordinary materialistic people to be like this, but we never expect sadhu to be like this. You gave to your relative, but you didn't give to us. What is this? They're very shocked how he was sadhu, but he was being partial to his relative. He said, look, my brother, he was in great distress. So he was listening very carefully. And you all were thinking about your business and your wife and your children and your vacation and so many things. Oh, my friend has come. Let's see. Is it like this or around the neck? Yeah, like this. Hare Krishna. Still, oh, there he goes. So, you were all thinking about so many other things. So you didn't get the same result. So then they said, no, all right, now you do again, you speak again Bhagavatam, we'll listen very carefully, and they all listened very carefully, and they all were liberated. So same way, this is warning, you should all listen very carefully. Now, just near Gokarn, Gokarneshwar, there is Ambikavan. Now, somehow or other, our Sridhar Swami, he mentioned somehow, you remember the story of Ambikavan, they went, Maharaj Nanda and all the Brijvasis, they went to worship Ambika Devi. And in the night, a big snake came and swallowed up Nanda Maharaj, started to swallow up Nanda Maharaj. And he cried out, and then Krishna touched that snake, and he became beautiful demigod, and offered his prayers and went back to the heavenly planets. So there, Sridhar Swami, in his commentary, he mentions that this Ambikavan is somewhere in Gujarat. So Prabhupada, following that, he also says that. But we see in Braj, this Ambikavan is actually right there on the corner, just beside Mathura, just near this Gokarneshwar. There's one Ambika Devi Mandir is there. So maybe in another yuga, Ambikavan was another place, but all the Brijbasis except this place is Ambikavan. So now finally we get free from Mathura. From Mathura, just a little ways away, is Madhuvan. And Madhuvan is an extremely ancient place. Extremely ancient place. If you remember the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, that happened in Satyug. We know one king was there. This was also very funny in Kumbh Mela. Throughout the Mela, they made these big, gigantic, almost as tall as this building here, big box. And somehow they had a big video machine and they put a big white cloth on the front, and from the backside, they were showing videos. Now, all framing the whole thing was advertisement for some sort of beauty soap called Fair and Lovely, with all beautiful smiling face of some beautiful girl and little soap and little Fair and Lovely design and all this around. So everywhere in the Mela, this was, and so at night they would turn on these projectors. So we were watching one night, I came by, and so this whole story of Maharaj Uttanapada was going on. And so, just that, I got there just as he had just run off of, been, you know, chased off of his father's lap, and he ran to his mother, Suniti, and she was saying, what can be done? Your father's more attached to Suruchi, what can I do? And this and that, and then she told him, only if Lord Vishnu desires. He said, where is this Vishnu? She said, I don't know, he may be in the forest, like that. So she put him to bed and he ran away to the forest. So, next scene, she comes running into the king is sitting with his beautiful Suruchi, and she comes running in, and Suruchi just sort of looks at her down the, like this, you know, and she starts crying and crying about Dhruva Maharaj has run away, and he's, oh my Dhruva, and he starts to run off with her, and Suruchi says, where are you going, you know, and she makes a whole big scene. How can you just, you're just leaving me like this? And then she goes into a big puff and tantrum, and then poor mother Suniti just falls on the bed and is crying and crying. And then Suruchi goes walking out, and somehow Maharaj Uttanapada's father appears on the scene, at least in this particular video. And he starts blasting him like anything. You're just a fool. You're a nonsense. He said, well, what did I do wrong? My whole kingdom is going on very nicely. Now, all my citizens are happy. I said, this lady, she's not part of your kingdom. She's not part of your praja. She's happy. Your Dhruv, he's not part of your praja. He's happy. Huh? You're saying that all your citizens are happy. They're not citizens in your kingdom. And you're doing such injustice to them. You're saying you're a just king. You're doing such injustice. How can your kingdom be running properly if you're doing such injustice to your own family? Just for some fleeting beauty of a silly little girl. You know, he used very heavy Hindi, you know. And then right at that, you know, he says these heavy words, then all of a sudden, bing, fair and lovely. just like, it was so ironic, you know. just giving this heavy speech about, you know, this fleeting beauty of a woman, you know, and all of a sudden, ping, you know, comes the smiling face of the girl, and she's washing, you know. And it was really ridiculous, but... So anyway, there in Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll see it says Madhubane. The Dhruva Maharaj, after he received instruction from Narad Muni, he went to Madhuvan. So this place is existing even since Satyuga, Madhuvane. And as we enter Madhuvan, on the left side, there's a Dhruv Tila. Tila means hill. And you go there. And this is a very nice place. This is very wonderful because we read all these stories in Srimad Bhagavatam. But when you actually go there and see this, you can actually see this place, Dhruv Tila, the beautiful deity of Dhruv Maharaj and Lord Vishnu appearing like that with his conch shell, touching Dhruv on the head with his, because he was so speechless he couldn't speak. Then Lord touched him with his conch shell and he began to offer very many beautiful prayers. And very beautiful forest is there. Lots of tamal trees in that forest. Very, very nice, beautiful forest is there, just off to the side of the village. So that's Satyug. Now, at the end of Satyug, Maharaj Ambarish also came to Madhuvan. Remember Maharaj Ambarish, he was very famous, powerful king, but he was not famous for being a powerful king. He was famous for being devotee of the Lord. He engaged all of his senses. Prabhupada has written very sweetly how he engaged his head in bowing down before the deity of the Lord, his tongue in tasting the tulsi leaves offered at the lotus feet of the Lord, his tongue in... his voice and chanting the names and pastimes and prayers to the Lord, his body in touching the bodies of the devotees of the Lord, his ears in hearing the glorification of the Lord, his feet in walking to the temple of the Lord, his hands in sweeping the temple of the Lord. He is king. He was the king of the whole universe. He has got thousands and millions of servants, but he never let any one of those servants do the service of the Lord. He personally did the service, even the sweeping he was doing. And Atma Nivedana, he surrendered everything to the Lord. So he's famous for this. So we know one time Maharaj Ambarish, he decided to follow this 1 year very strictly Ekadasi Brat. So he came also to Madhuvan. That was also in Satyug. Then in Treta Yug, we were hearing yesterday about how Shatrughan came with this Braha Didi. We were hearing in that the sages came and complained. So what happened, there was one demoness named Lola, and she gave birth to one great big demon named Madhu. And Madhu had a son named Lavanasur. And he roamed around giving trouble to everyone, and he came to this very beautiful forest. And he began to live there in that forest and make it his kingdom. And they just began to persecute, he and his all family members persecuted all the sages who lived there. Whenever they were doing yajna, they would come and pass stool on the yajna pit. They would drop blood and pus on them from the air. They just tortured them and created so much havoc for all the devotees and sages living in the forest. That finally, they sent one emissary to Lord Ramachandra, who had just returned from Lanka. He was now remaining as king in Ayodhya. And Ramachandra, he was ready to go, but Shatrughan said, no, you've already spent so many years struggling in the forest. Better you stay here. I can take care of this demon, by your grace. You just give me this Braha Didi to take with me. So he took that Braha Didi and he started... Now there's some controversy. There's two places claiming Valmiki's ashram. But the one that makes the most sense, near Kanpur, there's a little place called Bitur, Well, it's also birthplace, because its old name, Betur is the new name. Its old name was Barhishmati, which is the capital of King Uttanapada and birthplace of Dhruva Maharaj. And then something Aranya. Aryavarta. Aryavarta, and even before that, some Aranya. Aranya means forest. I can't remember the name of the forest just now. But there, since that's on a straight line between Ayodhya and Mathura, there is Valmiki's ashram. And they have temple there of Sita Devi and Lavan Kush Mandir. Because that time when Shatrughna appeared there in Valmiki's ashram, just at that time, Sita had given birth to two twins, Love and Kush. Now he was very shy and embarrassed, so from distance he offered his obeisances, and he, on the outside of Valmiki's ashram, he circumambulated Mother Sita, and he spent the night there. In the morning, Valmiki Rishi told him that this Madhu and Lavana, Lavanasur, they have got very, very powerful celestial weapons from the demigods. And if you meet him in battle with those weapons, then even for you it will be difficult to conquer him. But if somehow you find him without his weapons, then you can actually be able to destroy this demon. He gave this secret information. So when Shatrughan went there to Madhuvan, he hid in the bushes and watched. And then he saw in the morning this Lavanasur taking a big spear. He went to the forest to look for his breakfast. After some time he returned. He had, hanging on the back of that spear, he had three or four tigers and lions, a big snake, big wild boar. On his back he was carrying a huge elephant. All of this was going to be his breakfast. So immediately Shatrughan stood in his way and said, "I am your enemy and you have to fight with me." And Lavanasuri threw down all the animals and said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am the brother of Lord Ram and I'm challenging to a fight." He said, "All right, just let me go and get my weapons and I'll be right back." He said, "What do you mean go get your weapons? You fight with me right now, you coward." He said, how can I fight without my weapons? This is not the proper etiquette. You don't know anything about Kshatriya etiquette. As soon as you're challenged, you must fight. And as far as not having any weapon, what did you kill all of these big animals with? Huh? You've got a big spear in your hand. You're just trying to use the excuse of going to get your weapons to run away from me, you coward. Like that. So that made him furious and he attacked Shatrughan with a spear and there was a big battle. So somehow Shatrughan finished off that Lavanasur, and then his father Madhu, and one demoness was there, Mayadana, then they were all destroyed. So then he named that place Madhupuri. And that became the capital of the place. So when we go there to Madhuvan, then we find one little temple is there on the side of Shatrughan. So this is from Treta Yuga. Now Dwapar Yuga, now we know Madhu means honey. So in this forest there were so many trees dripping with honey. And Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd boys used to come there and drink this honey. Like that. Just like there's so many types of honey. One is this honey that Krishna and Balaram are drinking, flowing from the trees made by the bees. Then there's the honey, this Kathamrit. All the devotees are relishing hearing the wonderful pastime. This is also another type of honey. And the foolish materialists, they're also after some reflection. The reflection of the bottle of honey in the mirror. We've heard about licking the bottle of honey, but actually they're not even licking the bottle, they're licking the reflection of the bottle of honey. Actually, in this material world, there's no honey. We are only 90% of our enjoyment is only thinking about how we're going to enjoy. We never actually get to enjoy much. We just think about it. That as soon as I get this, as soon as I get that, as soon as I have this, as soon as I have that, then I'll enjoy. We're just thinking. We're working hard. Just like Mother Kusha was telling me, her sister, they worked very hard. She got married and they worked very hard and they saved up all their money and they bought a beautiful house in Hawaii. And of course Hawaii is sort of a tropical place like this, so there's termites. You know, so before you buy the house, then they put this big tent over the house and they fill it off with fumes to kill all the termites. This is all part of, because otherwise the insurance company won't insure the house unless it's been fumigated. So they put this big tent over this nice, beautiful house, and finally the day came, and they opened up the tent, and somewhere there was a short circuit, and because it was covered by the tent, they couldn't get into a big fire, so the whole house just smoldered and smoldered, and her dream was turned into ashes. So mainly we just think about, oh, once I get this beautiful house in Hawaii, then I'll enjoy, and it all turned to ashes. So we never actually enjoy, we just think about. Just like we're singing, oh, just see, such a wonderful boy. If I could marry with him, we'd live happily ever after. And she gets married, and then what happens? Then all day long on Saturday, he's just drinking beer and watching the football game, you know. And she's saying, well, we need this. We'd ask, shut up, I'm watching the football game. So we're just thinking. We think that we're going to enjoy, but we never actually enjoy. We just think about it. So we're just getting the reflection of the bottle of honey. So there also is Krishna Kund. Very beautiful little kund there, Krishna Kund. Because all the cowherd boys used to come herding the cows. Vala bala sanga denu charai. Denu means cow. So they were taking the cows, herding the cows. Charai means to herd the cows. They're going and the cows are eating all the tips of the grasses. Like that. So they used to come here to Madhavan with the cows and drink the honey and herd and swim in this Krishna Kund. And just beside there is very beautiful temple of Balaram. Now this Balaram, he's not a very big, he's only a little deity like this. But his eyes are just like the crescent moon. Just like that moon you see on a Kadasi night. You know? When it's the waning moon, when it's going toward the Amavasya, when you get to the 11 days after the full moon, that moon, just like that, Lord Balaram, he's got these most intoxicated, he's standing there, you can see, if you look at all the deities in Braj, look carefully, you see, Lord Balaram, one arm he has like this, giving benediction, and over his head is coming an antashesh, and they cut out the cloth like this, and you can see on his chest he's holding his cup of Bharuni. So Lord Balaram, he's got these beautiful crescent eyes, just completely intoxicated, most beautiful. So this is Madhuvan. And not far from Madhuvan, just a very beautiful walk. It's only like 3 or 4 kilometers, it takes like 1 hour to walk through the tall grasses with the big, they have white, feathery, this big tall grasses there, and on top there's these white little feathery things, like Krishna has put some welcome flags that you've all come to Kartik, so Krishna has put his welcome flags all over the place, welcome jandas. These white flags are there, silvery flags, blowing in the wind, beside, and coming out of the tall grasses. So we walk through the tall grasses, we come to Palavan. Now, do we have any tall trees around here? Now we have tall trees, but do we have a tala tree? None of the Mayapur Vasis know where a tall tree is? Well, this is a type of palm tree, but not like the date palms. Like here you see all the date palms with the big long branches like this. But the tall tree has got like, that's the one with the big fan leaves. It's got a thicker trunk, and it's got these big, not very long, but comes out into big fans like this. Those type of palm trees. And in the tops of those palm trees, first it looks like big barrel-shaped eggplants. It's purplish color. And then gradually as they ripen, they turn orange. And it's got this beautiful little purplish little spots here and there, little linings, little purplish linings as gradually... They're all clustered in one place. Looks like these sort of barrel-shaped eggplants. And then gradually they turn bright orange with little purple highlights. So one day, as Krishna and Balaram were traveling through the forest, this wonderful fragrance, because they've been playing for a long time, and they were quite hungry. And this wonderful fragrance came. Actually, they become bright orange, and they're very sweet and juicy, and this wonderful, sweet fragrance comes, and it was just like the wind snuck into the trees and stole that fragrance, and as it ran away, the leaves were rustling. It stole the fragrance of the tala fruits. And as it was running away, fleeing, then the rustling of the leaves was there as the evidence that this fragrance had been stolen. So the cowboys, they smelled that and they told Krishna that, you know, we've been playing for a long time, it's about lunchtime and there's these beautiful tala fruits over in this forest. But one thing is, these fruits have never been tasted by any devotee. Because there's a big demon named Denukasura who guards that forest. And he picks these fruits and he sends them to King Kamsa. And then whatever's left over, he and his ass-like friends, they enjoy these fruits. Like that. So nobody else, nobody goes inside this forest. Even the birds don't go inside this forest. So Krishna and Balaram, hearing this, they thought, "Acha." So then, Balaram walked over there and he grabbed one of these tall trees and he began to shake it like this. So all these big tala fruits began to fall down. Thud, 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 thud. And then he shook another one. Thud, thud. So asses, you know, they have big long ears. So he heard the sound. He knew what the sound is. I mean, somebody's knocking down my fruits. So he came running through the forest. He was just furious and he came running up and you see how asses do, they kick with their back legs. They make horrible sound. Hee-haw! Hee-haw! Like that. As soon as he tried to kick Lord Balaram's chest, Lord Balaram just grabbed his hind legs, spun him around, just from that centrifugal force he left his life air left him, and he threw him up on top of a tall tree. That tall tree fell over, hit the next one, and ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Whole bunch of tall trees went falling down. Then all the other friends, they all came running. And then Krishna and Balaram were just grabbing them and throwing them up in one tree, throwing them in another tree. Some of them were black, some of them were gray, some of them were white. All different colored, like different colored clouds were scattered in the trees. And a big mess was there. And tall fruits were falling all over the place. The blood of the asses was all over the place. But finally all of the asses were finished. So that time the boys didn't eat any because it was a big mess and it was all mixed with blood. So they left that place. But later, after some days, they returned and then they could all enjoy these wonderful, sweet, juicy tala fruits in that Talavan forest. Now I didn't have time to look up. Like I said, I just came straight from Kumbh Mela, so I'm a little unprepared. So I don't remember, but somehow Denukasura, in his previous life, he was related to Bali Maharaj somehow or other. And he had given him promise that he would never kill any of his descendants. So he was somehow related. So Balaram had to kill him. Krishna couldn't kill him. Balaram had to kill him. That's why Balaram killed this demon. Of course, the other reason is that Balaram, there's also beautiful deity of Balaram there. Big, tall deity of Balaram. And then there's a Sankarsana, there's a kund there, because after they were covered with blood, so Krishna and Balaram, they washed themselves in this kund. So that became known as Sankarshan Kund. So Lord Balaram, he represents, not represents, he's the original spiritual master, Adi Guru. And the ass, he's the foolish materialist. As we were just describing how the materialists, they work so hard to try to enjoy, but they never get any real enjoyment. Just like, again, the same thing. We hear all these examples, we read them in the books, but when you come here to India, then you can actually see. You know, you'll see the asses going down the road with big pile of laundry on their back, or a bunch of bricks on their back, or a bunch of earth on their back. And they work hard all day, and at the end, their master gives them some grass. So everywhere they're walking, there was grass. All along the road, there was grass. But they get a little grass. And then, after eating a little grass, he goes to the she-ass. Because when you see the asses working, they don't have, they're only male asses work. Otherwise, they won't do any work. Because we used to have the asses come to Brindakund and work. You know, we were doing some leveling, so they would load them. And I said, there's only male. He said, if we have females here, they won't do any work. They just run after the females all day long. So after they eat, then they run after the females. Then what happens? This also you can see. We have also seen many times. They come from behind, and she just goes, pow! It's the most horrible sound. You hear this. She just kicks him right in the teeth, you know. Pow! And then he just takes his lips and it's the most funny thing. They just curl their lips around and because she just popped right in between the teeth and the foot, you know. His lips got. So this is the ass-like materialist. In fact, the ass's another name is Vaisak Nandan. Because he becomes, Vaisak is just the beginning of the hot season. That is the first month of hot season, Vaisak. So that time, everybody else is very unhappy, but the ass is very happy. Because that time it's very, very dry. There's hardly any grass. So he eats a little grass, then he has to run ahead, finds some more, eats a little grass, and he runs ahead, and he finds a little more grass, and he runs ahead, and he finds a little more grass. And he hardly feels his belly, but he looks back, and he says, gee, I went so far, I must have eaten so much grass. And you know, when you feel people are happy, you see happy people, they're always fat, you know. You see happy people, generally they're very fat, you know, because once you get happy, then you're relaxed. And so in Vaisak, all the asses become very fat. Because they eat a little bit of grass here, they run ahead, and he looks back and he says, wow, I went so far, I must have eaten so much grass, and he becomes very happy. And he becomes very fat. And then as soon as rainy season comes, then there's grass everywhere, and he eats and eats and eats and eats and eats and eats. He looks back, I didn't go anywhere, eat some more. He gets very worried that I'm not going anywhere, I didn't eat anything. You know, and you know, people are worried, they're always very thin. You know, they're always in anxiety, they can't digest. So in rainy season, all the asses become very thin and sickly. Because he just looks, I didn't go anywhere, I didn't eat any grass, and he eats and eats and eats. I didn't go anywhere, I didn't eat anything. So he's complete fool. So this is the business of spiritual master, to knock us out of this ass-like enjoying mentality and bring us to the platform of serving. So this is Balaram's business. So he smashes this Dinukasura and all his friends to knock us out of this ass-like enjoying spirit and put us in the proper spirit for serving. Because we have to be in this mood of service. So from Talavan, we come to a very small forest. It's actually the smallest of all the 12 forests, called Kumudvan. Kamud means the lily, just like we know Kamal means the lotus. So Kamud means specifically this red lily. So in that forest there's one Padmakund that is filled with all of these beautiful red lilies, or used to be, or at least if you have the eyes to see, you can see them there. We just go and see that there's, it's got very black mud. You know, we used to just go down and cover your whole face like this, you know. Whole body, bottom of that kund is very black. And somehow Kapila Muni used to have his, one of his ashrams on the bank of that Padma Kund many, many thousands of years ago. And in this place, Krishna used to play with all of his friends. Sometimes they would take kunda flowers, which are very beautiful white flowers that appear in the autumn season. In the summer season, rainy season, there's jasmine flowers. And in the winter season, there's kunda flowers, a little white, just like jasmine, but different, the more firm, not so soft like jasmine flowers. And they used to make little balls out of these flowers and throw these flowers at one another. Or sometimes they will play catch. One will throw, make a little flower ball, and he'll throw it to Krishna, and Krishna will grab his turban with his left hand so it doesn't fall off, and he'll reach up with his right hand and catch it. And then shading his hand from the sun, he'll throw that ball to another, flower ball to another boy. And sometimes they just throw them up in the air, just like they're trying to tantalize the wives of the demigods by throwing their flower balls straight up to the skies. Like this. So all through this forest, Krishna and his friends are enjoying many different wonderful pastimes. Now just a little ahead of Kamudvan, we come to a little village called Datia. The original name of that place comes from this demon called Dantavakra. Because it's very interesting, because what happened is after Krishna killed Salva, I think it was, then this Dantavakra, he became furious. And he hadn't heard, he just heard the news that Salva had been killed by Krishna. So he hadn't heard the news that Krishna had actually moved his... Where's the door? Where's the door? Dwarkai, Dwarkai. So it became known as Dwarka. Because he told it to make it such a way that nobody could get in, so they later had to make it Dwar. So, but they were all saying, Dwarka, Dwarka, Dwarka. Where's the door? So anyway, he hadn't heard about that. So Dantavakra, he actually attacked Braj. And he got to Mathura, he saw the whole place was empty. So he smashed the whole city. Then he went to the Braj and started smashing up everything. Then Krishna said, oh my God, now what's going to happen? So Krishna actually had to return to Braj. This is a very secret pastime. Krishna actually returned to Braj at that time to kill this Dantavakra. Because he was tearing up Braj. He thought, oh, now everything will be destroyed. So that time he came there to that place, Datia. It was named after Danta, but now the village is known as Datia. And a little ways from there is birthplace of Putana. Little villages there called Kechari. As Prabhupada explains in Krishna book, Kechari means this type of witch who can sit on the branch of a tree and fly through the sky and drink the blood of little children. So as we're wandering along, we come to Kechari, Putana's birthplace. Little tiny village there in the middle of the forest. Another place is there, what is it? I can't remember the name of that place. But it has something to do with the breeze blew the fragrance, and the fragrance of Krishna's body was all the residents of Braj. They were smelling this wonderful fragrance. So it's something to do with Gandheshwar or something like that. Some little village is there where all the residents of Braj smelled the Gandha, the beautiful fragrance of Krishna's body. And finally we come to the place where we'll stop today. There's a very beautiful temple called, a very beautiful place called Santanukund. And there's a moat. There's actually a moat all around this temple. You know moat, huh? Water all around the temple. And then you have to go all the way around the backside. And there's a little bridge that comes across. And you go upstairs. And you can get darshan of Santanu Bihari. Because you all remember good old Maharaj Santanu. Who is he?
The father of Bhishma.
The father of Bhishma. And this place, Santanu Kund, he performed many, many thousands of years in penances and austerities. And Lord was pleased with him and said, what do you want? He said, I want a son just like you. He said, there's no one just like me, but I'll give you someone almost like me. So he later got Bhishma as his son from performing his penances and austerities there at Santanu Kund. So you have to walk all the way around, and there's this beautiful little stone bridge, and you go up the stairs, and the very beautiful deities of Santanu Bihari are there. So this brings us to Santanu Kund. So is there any questions or comments? Yes.
Part is Mathura. The whole thing is Mathura.
Well, nowadays it's called district. Part of it, most of it, is district Mathura. But this, now as soon as we went to Madhuvan, we left Mathura behind, the city, and now we're wandering in Braj. And the word Braj actually means to go. Mame kam saranam braja. You go and take shelter. So Braj means just to go. So we go to Braj. That's why Krishna uses this word in that verse. That, because we're worried that if I give up everything and I surrender to Krishna, what will happen? I mean, I know my sense enjoyment. I heard about something called spiritual enjoyment, but at least I know my sense enjoyment. If I give up everything and surrender to Krishna, then what will happen? The Krishna says, Mazucha, don't worry, I've got my Braj. You can come to Braj and wander and just go, Braj. Just go round and round and round and round and hear wonderful pastimes and see wonderful places. And you won't miss anything. People are amazed. All these people, they left their big skyscraper buildings and air conditioning and nice soft bed and great big shoes, and they're wandering around barefoot getting stickers in their feet and sleeping here and sleeping there, never staying same place twice. Like that, all these people must have become crazy. Like that, but somehow or other, it is such a wonderful place. You forget about all those things and you just go wandering from here and there and here and there. And the only bad part about it is that after 1 month it comes to an end. If you go back. It was so bad I couldn't go back, so I'm still there. Otherwise you can just Braj, you just go and go and go and go. Yes?
How did they make the flower boys?
I don't know, I've never heard a description, just especially in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, it mentions that they used to make little flower balls with the kunda flowers. Somehow, I guess their petals get interlocked when they push them all together in a little ball. We'll have to go to Golok and find out. And of course, in Madhuvan, we forgot one thing. We talked about Satyug, Tretyug, Dwapar Yug. In Kali Yuga, Then Lord Chaitanya also wandered through this forest of Madhuvan. So pastime is there. In fact, it's very interesting because Treta, as we can understand, comes from Tritya. Tritya means three. So it seems like something out of order, since Satya is first and Treta is second, and Dwapar, we can understand Dwa is two. So why Dwa? Why is it mixed like that? So the actual order is Satya, Dwapar, and Treta, and Kaliyu. That's the actual order. But in the very beginning of the universe, Lord Brahma, he created many sons out of his mind. One of them was Vasishtha Muni. And he gave Vasishtha Muni the duty of being the Purohit, the priest of all the kings. You know, we always hear about family priests. It's called Purohit. So he was doing that service, but then he realized, you know, because then sometimes you have to do marriage ceremony, sometimes you have to do hair cutting, sometimes this one, sometimes antim sanskar, the last sanskar, like that. And you get some sort of reaction from all these things. You have to take money, you know, there's some money involved, and then you have to take dakshina, and you also take some part of the karma and this and that. So he realized he didn't get such a good duty. So he went to his father and said, well, you know, give me some other service. You know, this is not such a good deal. And Lord Brahma says, look, son, I have no other person to do this. You please do this, but I'll tell you one thing. If you do this, in the Treta Yuga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear as Lord Ramachandra, and you will be the Purohit of the Supreme Lord. After that, you'll get free from this service. So Vasishtha Muni said, yes, Father. So Brahma was very pleased, because his son was very obedient. He said, but Treta Yuga is a long ways. It's Satya Yuga now, then Dwapara Yuga has to come, then Treta Yuga is not going to come for many millions of years, Father. I'll do the service like you say, but think about it. He didn't really request him. He just, you know, said it in such a way that Brahma couldn't understand. But Brahma, he was feeling happy in his heart that his son was obedient. So then Brahma thought for a second. He said, all right, this time Treta Yuga will come first, and then Dwapara Yuga will come later. So this particular cycle has switched. Yes.
Does the cycle when Krishna comes, when it's overlapped?
No, that's something else. That's the Sandhya. That's talking about the Sandhya. Somehow or other, at this particular time, Dwapara and Kali, there's the Sandhya overlaps or something between the two ages. That overlapping is another thing. This is complete switch around. So no other question? So we can all offer obeisances unto lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, and we'll end here. Jai Ho, Srila Prabhupada.